Blog Talk Radio.
But none of that even matters now. Your history isn't your destiny. And you'll find in this life that if you want something you've never had, you have to be willing to do something you've never done. But today's a new day. You stop looking at all the reasons why you consider yourself a victim. You're still here. Nothing has stopped you yet. You've been hit, you've been poked, you've been betrayed, you've been hurt. There's no doubt life has challenged you, but you're still here. You're no victim. You're a victor. You have a history of victory. The only truth is that you are nothing less than spectacular. Stop doubting yourself. You were put on this earth to thrive. Don't you dare put a question mark where God put a period.
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. Of course, you're welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You could participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. You just have to fill out the instant feedback form and feel free to ask a question to myself or my guest. Joining us shortly, James Van Praagh, international best-selling author. He's here to talk about his new book, Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. And I picked up this book and I couldn't put it down. As always, James Van Praagh, just an incredible, incredible author. And he just shares so much insight, wisdom, and it's really it's funny, but he shares it in a very down-to-earth kind of way so that we could all understand. And it's another incredible book by James Van Praagh. But, of course, first I want to say hello to everyone out there, and I want to remind you to never forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Let's get out there and make a difference. Let's get out there and participate. You know, I get tons of email after email, people telling me about their God, and I think it's beautiful, but you know what I think is even more beautiful? It's when you stop telling me about your God with your words and show me about your God with your actions. Get out there and participate. We're all here on the same team and in this together. Let's participate not only in our own journey, but in someone else's journey as well. Share information, share love, share compassion. You know, it's a beautiful thing to see so many people embracing their spirituality all over the world. But don't think for a second that means to turn your back on your humanity. Get out there and touch someone's life. Participate in someone else's life as well. As Gandhi said, we got to be the change we wish to see. Have your life be your message. And if I've learned anything, one of the most spiritual things you can do is embrace your humanity. So never forget that one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. I want to get to the show because this is definitely one of my favorite authors in the world. James Van Praagh is a New York Times best-selling author of Unfinished Business, Ghosts Among Us, Talking to Heaven. He lectures and conducts seminars around the globe. His website is vanpraagh.com. He's here to talk about his new book, Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. It's always an honor to have James on. James Van Praagh, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much.
You know, another fantastic book, and this one, James, this one hit home because I had my mom just passed away 3 months ago, and I had shared on the show conversations I had with my mom who had raised us Catholic, and she was super Catholic, and right towards the end, her last month or two, she was kind of straddling one leg in this world and one in the other. And she was saying things, James, that I really didn't understand, because it was coming from someone I never thought would say such things, and picked up your book, and the very first story you start sharing, you know, this child is saying the same thing that my mom was saying. She said, you know, I get the feeling. She kept seeing people, James, seeing them. She said, you know, they're not looking at me. They're kind of going about their day. You guys can't see them, but I see them. They're just going about their day. They're not looking at me. And
well,
she said,
you know, Steve, the closer we get to the edge of going back home, we kind of are in and out of the body so naturally that we're in between dimensions, if you will, so we see them much easier, much more prevalent.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
and no
one ever dies alone. We're always met by somebody, always.
And that's what I saw in this book, and you're sharing these stories, these books, people were saying the same thing. She said, you know, I think I'm going to close my eyes and then open them and then go about my day, but you guys are going to think I'm dead. I'll never forget when my mom said that. And I see it time and time again in this story. James, it's a powerful thing when a parent loses a child. Is that what inspired you to share these incredible stories?
Yes. I have had over the years, 27 years doing this work, the biggest devastation that there is really are parents who lost children. And it's very, very hard and difficult. But I've also had so many thousands and thousands of children come back and tell the parent that this is the way it was supposed to be, that this was their sole decision, and that there's going to be lessons that would be learned, and that I'm very much alive in the spirit world in heaven, and that if you only knew what I see over here, you'd be so much happier for me and the situation. You would understand it better. So I had to write a book, kind of a tour, if you will, of heaven from a spirit of a child's point of view, and to help parents and really to help everybody to understand more about us as soul beings, us as, like you always say, as godlike beings, which we are, and how to use that potential every single day.
Well, I think that's what I love a lot about this book also, and something that you do in this book that you do more so than you've done in any other book is you really outline the understanding of the soul and your understanding of purpose. Is this just coming from all this experience you have?
Yes. It comes from many, many years and many, many communications, if you will, from different spirits from all over the world. And when there's a commonality, that's how I really draw my proof and what I know to be real. And this book is definitely based upon the soul imprint and what the soul makeup is, the soul groups, the soul packs. That's all based upon messages that have come from spirit. These same messages about the affinity of the different souls, the soul experiences, the various levels of learning that we have to go through. That's all derived from my messages with spirit.
It seems that we're always in this process, James. It seems like we're always in this process of refining, improving, enhancing, and learning. And sometimes it's in the body and out of body, but it seems like it's always a process that we're involved in.
Well, we've got to remember that we are never lose the perspective. We should never lose the perspective that we are souls having a human experience, not the other way around. And as souls, we come to this planet to learn, because there are many, many places to learn, many planets, many solar systems, many places. But the Earth world has so many rich opportunities that we can learn from these experiences to help our soul grow. So it's really a hotbed of activity down here, and it's a place to go to grow quickly, rapidly. And also, you know, many souls come back to help each other out, of course, to teach others, to bring them up, if you will, to enlighten them. So, because we're all in it together, we're all one being.
It's so true. We are all in this together, and it's a powerful thing. I remember reading one of the stories about a kid. He was parachuting. He was going skydiving, and he passed away when his chute didn't open. And you had his father in there, and I love how you talk about that, how you pointed out to his father and helped them see their whole mission together.
Well, the funny thing, Steve, about that, well, the story, which when you mentioned it, I started crying because it was such an emotional experience. It was in a small demonstration. I do demonstrations all over the country. And this was a small one, about 100 people. And it was a man sitting in the first row, and he was wearing all leather from bottom of his feet, top of his head, jacket, the pants, the whole thing. He was a biker. And some of that would usually not be in my audience. And I could see he was kind of really down and depressed. And the second part of the show, I saw this boy standing next to him, and the boy looked at me and said, please help my father out. And I talked to the man and said, your son is here, and he started crying. Brand new to this whole experience. And he really gave incredible proof about like you said, the chute not opening when he fell. And all this proof, the man was freaking out. He's crying. He goes, this is unbelievable. This is incredible. And then the major thing, which I write about in the book, too, which blew me away, he said he wants to thank you for the tattoo. The man rips off his jacket and his shirt, and big gothic letters, my son Michael. And I was like, oh, it really gets you. So, but then he came back the following month with his family and his friends to experience that night, to experience communication and how it can change your life in so many ways.
It's incredible how you talk about the children and their experience and their ties to the other side. How children, as the younger they are, the less they have forgotten about the other side, like us adults, and they don't seem to have as much drama in transition.
Yeah, I always say they have not become dirty yet, because their minds are still very clear. They've just come from the spiritual dimension, so their mindset is really of the spiritual world and the properties of the spiritual world. The longer they stay in this physical earth and the atmosphere of the physical earth, they'll pick up, of course, the judgments and the limitations, fear of this world, and be taught those things as well, and forget, if you will, their true essence of themselves most times, the true nature of their being, which is spirit. So, and very interesting, too, because I think by the end of life, if someone lives to an old age, I think they kind of go back to that childlike way and kind of are open again, once again, because they get closer to the veil. So it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. What becomes a challenge for you? Every time I read one of your books or I listen to you, I wonder what the challenge becomes for you for a parent. You know, when the parent's trying to get a purpose, an explanation, why? What did my kid do to deserve to die at 7 or 8 years old?
Yes.
That's got to be a tremendous challenge for you.
Well, it's number one. I'm definitely more than just a medium. I'm a spiritual. I'm a counselor. I'm a pastor. I'm everything. I really am. I wear so many hats. Number one, you have to have a lot of compassion with this work, especially when you're dealing with parents who lost children, because that is, as I said, the hardest loss, I think. There's going to be a natural reaction, of course, of anger, of how could God do this to me? There is no loving God. And then there's a whole thing of guilt. There are many steps to go through when the death of a child. And I have to first really open this, even if they don't want to. And let me tell you, a lot of these parents will not pry open, because that is their whole... They identify so much with the child that it's hard for them to come back to their own selves. So we have to start opening up their minds from looking at it from a spiritual perspective, from a soul perspective, as I talk about a lot in the book, that it is a soul agreement this time that child would come back and leave early. And then we get into, because maybe in another lifetime you left early, and now you have to balance things out. There's always a reason behind things. It's hard because from this perspective, from us here in the three-dimensional world, we can't always see the correct answers until we pass over to the other side. But if we learn to just – and many times what happens is the spirit will agree to leave, the soul agrees to leave early this lifetime to help the parent get on their spiritual path. It forces them to start looking into the spiritual world, trying to understand life after death, trying to understand their mission on this earth. Why did the child leave? So it really does help them. And I've seen many, many parents whose lives have been changed because of a death in a very positive way. They began organizations. They began writing books. They began to have support groups. So in many ways, it does help. So it's interesting. You got to really help to change their perspective if you can, and if they're willing to.
It really is, and I noticed that in the book, that as sad as it was, and then it's I think it's impossible to get through this book without some tears and
by
tears
page
of
four,
of
you'll
sadness
be crying,
and
it's true.
Yeah,
before you cry. I mean, just holding the book, I cry.
It's the truth. And the book we're talking about, folks, is James Van Praagh's new book, Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. If you're listening live through our show, you can click on on James' name. It'll take you right to vanpraagh.com. You can also click on the picture of the book, and it'll take you right to Amazon. Don't even wait. It opens a new window. Just go straight to Amazon and pick up your copy.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you very much. Because I'm telling everybody, if just one person, everyone listening, just buy one book. That's it. It'll help put the book up on the list. And doing that, it does change the perspective of society. And they'll know that spiritual books are something that people want to read, and it does start changing. It changes. Everybody looks at things, oh, this is marketable, or this is something we should look further at. So it does help us all with that sense
of right.
spiritual.
You're right.
I mean,
you get
I know that from experience.
Amazon list.
Yeah, I mean, I know it from experiences things. From other things and movies and TV shows I've worked on, and it helps change the consciousness, you know, of the planet.
You're absolutely right, and it helps bring on that proverbial 100th monkey. So make sure that you check out James Arne Prague's book, Growing Up in Heaven. And James, I was looking through this book, and it's also so inspirational, and I realized that in a lot of the cases, the death of the child actually did breathe new life into the life of the adult.
Totally. And when it happens, of course, they can't see that at all. They just see the devastation, and then, of course, the guilt. But in the long run, and I've worked in so many of these cases where I've actually seen them years after the experience has happened, years after they've had the death, how that person has changed, how the parents have changed. And I've seen also where they've devastated, where they've gotten divorced, and it ruins their lives in some cases. But most of the ones I've worked with, they've done pretty well, and I'm very happy to say that they have learned that there's more to life than just this world, and that they know that their son, their child, is a guide of theirs, helping them, and that we're all in it as one being, one soul group, if you will.
It's almost ironic sometimes, because when you read this stuff, or I've seen, of course, you do tons of readings, it's almost weird as if the spirit on the other side saying, I'm alive, I'm more alive than you.
That's
you
right.
Need to liven up. It's almost as they're saying, I'm alive, you're the dead one right now, wake up.
Oh, they say that all the time. It's so amazing. They say that all the time. I've had children come back and say, Mom, why are you staring at the ground? You know I'm not in that ground. You know I'm not in that little jar on your mantle. Stop thinking that. And I often say that. I'm more alive than you are because you can't see yourself because you don't take the time to listen to your heart. And they've said many things like that, which is very true. And the biggest problem, of course, is once we pass into the other side, into the light, and we have that total awareness, we look back on our physical lives and say, oh, if only I knew then what I know now, I would have loved myself so much more. I would have taken chances. I would not have lived in fear and limitation. I really would have been, you know, that God being, that God light, and lived it every day. And that's, unfortunately, people have a lot of regret. But writing books like this, it teaches people that they can live a spiritual life now and have that awareness now. They don't have to wait till they pass out of the body.
You know, it's something that to have you on. I couldn't only imagine what it would be like to be you because you've been on for about
you do not want to know, Steve,
minutes.
What it's like to be me.
You've been on for
it's
10
very
or 15
dangerous,
minutes.
Steve. Don't even go there.
I'm wiping my tears as it is just looking at the feedback. So many parents, James, you know, saying how their children have passed and they can't feel them. Is sometimes that grieving process a barrier?
Yes. Very, very bright. Yes, very good question. When someone grieves, overly grieves. It's natural, of course, and normal to grieve. But when it becomes kind of obsessive, when you keep on thinking, you know, I'm so upset, I'm angry, and you're really getting into that grief, and you have it surrounding you, you kind of build up walls. And spirit can't get through to you because they have to get through those emotional walls. So it's very, very difficult. Even when I do demonstrations in the audience, I explain to them, you need to stop screaming to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. Even though then I think vocally, I hear them in my head because they're trying to push in. It doesn't work that way. The more open the people are, the easier it is for spirit to come through. I often say it's like a hose, a garden hose. When you crank up that, when you crank the hose, the water can flow. It's the same thing. When you just open up and relax, you let spirit come through easier. So you're not in control of it. And once you let go of control, you realize how much more open you are and easier it is for them to get through and for you to make contact with them.
What about in devastating cases? And folks, I want to thank you for those of you who are sending in feedback. Thank you so much for trusting us with these stories. It's I'm sending you big hugs. And James, what about somebody here who's writing about a young teen suicide? Do they seem to transition the same? Is the trauma on our side, not theirs?
That's a great question, whoever wrote that, and thank you. That's a really wonderful, wonderful question. Suicide is an interesting thing because as a soul can never be harmed. It never can be harmed. And, you know, there are different types of suicide. If there's a soul who leaves this earth world, remember, earth is our schoolroom, and we really should never leave it early. We should never cut class. But there are some souls who come back with mental conditions, imbalances, and they can't deal with it, and they end their lives. That's very different than somebody who ends their life because their stock fell, you know, and they jump out a window. Very, very different because the person with a stock has more an awareness of themselves. Suicides are handled in a way where I find the soul, the first thing that happens is they have regret. regret because, oh, wow, I'm still alive. I'm not dead. I'm very, very much alive. And they think about the people left behind, and they feel very bad about the people left behind. So I often say to people left behind, the best way you can help that soul is to really send them love, because it will help them to love themselves and to be more open to forgiving themselves. That's the best thing. No one has ever left alone with suicide. There's always, like, if you will, I want to say a welcoming committee, and those people whose mission it is, whose jobs it is to help those victims, those suicide people, to, when they pass over, to help them emotionally, to help them. In some cases, they bring them to places like clinics, therapy clinics. Some people, they just help them to bring them to their family and help them with the situation. It all depends. Each situation is very, very different. But with a suicide, no one should blame themselves as far as the people left behind. Don't blame yourself for that person's, you know, sometimes they just couldn't handle it either. It just couldn't handle it. I've also found, Steve, that there are some suicide cases where I call it a completing suicide, because now this sounds very, very weird, but I'm going to put it out there, because how do I know? How do we know it's not an option that when they were back in the spiritual levels that they decided that the way they would leave the body is through a suicide, because that would teach the family or the souls left behind different lessons. So maybe that's even a possibility. So the best thing we could do is really that we really should finish school down here. We shouldn't cut class, but love is definitely the answer. Love will help them the most.
How does it work for younger children as far as their mind and their consciousness? Because they could be 4 years old here learning the alphabet or simple addition. When they pass on, do they reconnect with the universal knowledge they had that, of course, is more expansive than that?
Yes, exactly right. It's exactly right, Steve. What I like to, the analogy I like to use, and again, we living in a three-dimensional world, it's kind of like we're shut off. We are really shut off. We're like kind of the bottom of the ocean floor, and we don't see anything until, you know, at the end of our lives. We rise up out of the ocean, and we see there's a whole world there. Same thing with the soul. When a soul comes down to this this world, and in the book I call The Valley of Forgetfulness, we are kind of shut off. We forget our soul selves from other lifetimes that we've had, because we really want to start with a clean slate down here. Also, it's really, I think God giving us grace, because if we were here and we knew all of our past lives and how we killed other people and how we upset other people, we'd be so obsessed with how we did the wrong things in those other lifetimes that we wouldn't have time to do the right things this lifetime, because we'd be so obsessed. It seems that when you pass out of this dimension into the other dimension, there is a totality of your beingness. You remember, you recall a fullness of who you are as a soul being and all the experiences that you had. I like to say it's like a big sun, and this body right now is just one ray of that huge sun. And when it's time to go back home, you go back into that full sun and become part of that light. See what it means? And you get the fullness of who you are as a soul.
It's such a beautiful process, and I'd never really experienced it until recently, and it was just to watch as a student of humanity and as a son. It was just an incredible process to watch, and I remembered the first book of yours that I read. I think it was called Talking to Heaven.
Yes.
Or Reaching Heaven. It was one of those two. It was a long while ago, and I remember thinking about what I had read in that book, and it just watching, it's an incredible process. James, does in your experience, you've been doing this for so many years, in your experience, are people starting to feel more empowered? Are they fearing death less, or has it been the same? As our understanding of it has grown, has the fear subsided?
Well, as I said earlier, Steve, when I said I wanted to buy, every person listening should buy one book to change their consciousness, I do believe, since I started 27 years ago, around there, you know, it was so different. It was such a different world. I was the nutcase, and no one would listen to this. I thought I was just crazy. And now it's completely changed because of these books, because of the TV shows, because of the movies. There's more of a change in consciousness on the whole planet, and we see that. So there's more of, and everybody has experiences. Everyone you speak to will have an experience. Oh, I had a dream about my dead grandmother last night, or, oh, I felt this thing, and all of a sudden, you know, I knew it was my mother, or I was thinking of something, and then it happened the next day. Everybody has intuitive experiences more and more now because we're more open to it, and because, of course, the vibrations change so much on the planet, the shift on the planet energetically has brought more people closer to the other dimension, if you will. The veil's thinner and thinner, so there'll be more experiences. So I do believe that mediumship and life after death is being much more accepted and much more, how can I put this, much more people realizing it's natural. It isn't the whole religious type of thing. It's more of a very natural experience. And I think in that way also people are seeing that they're spiritual. They're much more spiritual beings than just physical beings.
Carrie's in Utah, and Carrie says, Steve, thank you so much for having James back on the show. Could you please ask him if the longer time passes since our child has passed, are they actually further away from us, or do they stay around just as close waiting for us to pass?
Interesting question and very good question. Thank you for asking. I'll put it to you this way for us to understand it, because from what I've been experiencing and told, it's like when we leave, let's say, high school, we graduate from high school, and the week after we graduate, we're still aware of high school, who sat next to in our homerooms and who the students that we were friendly with and so forth. But the longer the years go, the more you forget about those students and those classes and the school itself. It seems that the magnetic ties that are connected from the soul to the earth world, those magnetic ties slowly, slowly deteriorate. So their mindset is not as connected to the earth world as it once was. That being said, they're always connected on a soul level to their parents, to their friends. And they're always around them, but it's harder for us to feel them because the magnetic ties are not as strong. But that does not mean they're not with us. They're guiding us. They're helping us in ways that we sometimes aren't aware of. But the bonds of love continue on, and they will greet us when it's our time to pass over. I also tell you, which I wrote in the book in many instances, and I've seen this over and over again, that when children leave, not in all cases, but in many cases, that soul has to leave early so they can help the parents left behind on the earth. And a wonderful case, I wrote about this in one of my books, there was a man that came to him and his wife, and their son Chris came through. And Chris said to his father, Dad, I'm helping you with your hands. And we didn't know what that meant. Months later, the father called me up. He said, James, this is the weirdest thing. Whenever I go by certain people, my hands start burning up and I have heat and energy comes out. Well, he is now a healer. And he has a healing clinic in Los Angeles. And his son is helping him with the healing. This healing could not have started until his son passed the other side of life. Isn't that amazing? To complete that circuitry or something.
It's absolutely amazing.
It really is amazing. Mm-hmm. And we got to realize there's a divine plan. There is a universal divine plan. I think everything is perfect. I think we, as human beings, just our tendency to see imperfections. But when we get back to the perfection, life really does open up. And we have to have, it's a lesson in trust. It's a lesson in faith that we are, you know, we are God. We are love. We are that beingness. And, you know, there are no accidents. I believe, and I don't believe in coincidence. I think coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. And I do believe accidents are God's whispers, you know. So, yeah, that's right. That's what I've been
doing. I love that. Hey, somebody IM me with James and Prog. Coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. I want to post that on my Facebook.
Of remaining anonymous. Mm-hmm.
Of remaining anonymous. Please, somebody send that to me. I want to post that. Folks, we're having a great conversation with James Van Praagh. He's the internationally best-selling author of Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. We're going to take a very quick break. When we get back, we still got a whole segment left with James. I want you to, during break, I want you to click on his name. I want you to go to vanprog.com. I also want you to go to Amazon and pick up a copy of this book. And if you're feeling generous, pick up a copy for a friend. We need to share this kind of information. I love supporting authors like James Van Praagh. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Don't move.
Your beauty, just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success, is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are.
I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true. The scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Never forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You, with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You, picking on the weaker man.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our site, thebettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com. And every single show we've ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. We're having a great conversation with internationally best-selling author James Van Prague. James Van Prague is the author of Ghosts Among Us, Talking to Heaven, and Unfinished Business. His newest book is Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. His website is vanprague.com. That's vanprague.com. If you're listening through our site, just click on James' name. It'll take you right there. If you're listening live, click on the picture of the book, Growing Up in Heaven. It'll take you right to Amazon. You can pick yourself up a copy and pick up one for someone else if you'd like as well. James, is there anything we can consciously experience here while we're alive that's similar to what they're experiencing since they pass? Is it in dreams? Is it in meditations? Or is the experience just completely different?
Well, you know, Steve, you know, you have definitely the marks of a great teacher, but because it's like I'm talking to you and you know the truth, you know the answers to all these questions, but you're so good at giving them to your listeners and helping people. I just want to acknowledge that, and I love listening to your show and the songs and everything. It's just such great work, so I want to acknowledge that. It can be easily be done if people take the time and the patience to start listening. And like you said, through dreams, dreams are the number one way the people, the spirits come through, that we can connect with them. And it's, again, when we're not trying so hard, they'll come through. I always keep a pad by the side of the bed because you want to get the message and write it down. Another way, which you did mention also, is meditation. If people learn to just go within and learn to meditate quietly, you'll begin to open up and hear spirit. And on my website, I do have some tapes, CDs that people can download, and it's all about how you contact spirit in that meditative state. All my shows that I do, by the way, when I go on tour, and my calendar, again, is on my site. I'm going to be in Westbury, New York, and Boston, and all over the country. And I do a meditation with people where I bring them to a garden, and I have them meet their spirit loved ones. And I've had more people experience things And after the show, they come up to me and say, I've never had that before. I felt them. I saw them. And some things, this is really interesting, they've experienced this garden with their loved ones. I would do a reading for them during the show, during the night, and exactly the message that comes through is exactly what that person experienced in the garden with their loved one. So it's pretty amazing stuff comes through. So those things, yeah, they can get in touch with them on a conscious level, you bet.
It really is incredible how thin the veil actually is. We're kind of in our own way a little bit.
Yes, it's very true. And getting closer to next December, the veil is going to get even closer. And I've noticed it. I know everyone out there has noticed how fast everything's gotten, everything. And it's true. The mind is very, very powerful. And what you think is real. And thoughts are going to be manifested. You know, now I see it within days. I mean, I was talking about Pierce Morgan two days ago. And last night I ran into him in a hotel. I mean, weird stuff. And just bizarre stuff, too. You'll be saying something about, I don't know, UFOs, and next day you see one in the sky. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. Or some stranger will bring up a comment about something you were just saying that morning. It's happening more and more because the energy is speeding up, the vibration is speeding up. We are getting close to the veil. In the spiritual level, by the way, it's all done with thought. So when you go to the other side, you do not communicate verbally, but you communicate with thought. So you just think of something and it materializes. People hear your thoughts. So that's exactly kind of what's getting closer and closer. As you say, the veil is getting thinner.
It's very inspirational to see what you write, and because a lot of mediums out there, first, I have to say that a lot of them who say they are, I don't believe that they are to the level that they believe they are.
Yeah, but, unfortunately, there's a lot of that in the way.
there is, and you've always taken you've almost been like a motivational medium,
yeah.
Inspirational medium, because you do take different angles. I remember as somebody asking me once, was it Marcus Aurelius? What really got you into the inspirational side? I said, no, it was Talking to Heaven by James Van Prague, because
wow.
You really started talking about in those earlier books. You were talking about what they call the law of attraction today. You
totally.
Really.
Totally. Yeah. You know, one of the first books I read was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And can you still hear me? Hello? Did we cut off? Oh, shoot. I'll call you back. Hello?
I don't know what happened. I'm back. Are you guys still here? I'm back. I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. But this is. I'm thinking that it's simply what it's been last time. It's our show is simply it's taking over. I had asked Blog Talk to give us our own server. We have so many listeners to the show, and when you add someone with a big following like James Van Prague, that's what happens. But I think he's back. James, you back?
I'm back.
All right, sorry about that.
That happens all the time on my site too. So that's exactly right. Exactly what you said. And so many people are listening that it happens. I mean, technology hasn't caught up to us yet. But as you were saying, my books, Talking to Heaven, one of the first books I ever read was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and also As the Man Thinketh by James Allen, which is one of the best books ever written about law of attraction. And also another great book, The Wisdom of Florence Shovel Shin, called The Game of Life, Power of Spoken Word, The Word is Your Wand. I have on my website the list of the books. But it's true because all, you know, it's so interesting, all the readings, they all are all about you have the power. You know, you have to realize that you are that God person, that your thoughts are real things. You attract to you what you think. You know, your thoughts are created. It's a canvas over your head. And you paint that canvas with your thoughts. And do you want a pretty canvas or do you want an ugly canvas? Because if you have love and you spread that loving light and you attract those loving things, you'll attract it. Like attracts like. If you don't want things in your life, you limit your God self, then have an ugly canvas. It's all up to you. You're the power of God. And that comes through in all the messages as well. So that's why it's really sprinkled throughout the books.
Well, when you find that in the messages, when you find the people coming through and saying, hey, listen, you got to live, you're alive now, get up and participate, and your history isn't your destiny, and they're inspiring us, it must feel fantastic to take people, James, from a point that's pretty low and really help them see that message in the mess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't even describe it. It's indescribable. I mean, just so many people say so many different things. They come up to me at book signings, and I'll never forget many, many times it happens now. It just blows me away where someone will come up and say, I was going to, you know, end my life, but I read your book and I decided not to. And that makes it all worth it. You know, you saved a life. The books have saved a life. So, yeah, it's pretty great. But I think that's why I came back down to this earth, just like you. You know, we're teachers. We've come back to help enlighten everybody. I think to remind people who they really are. And I love listening to you with your words out there because you have so many past lives as like a reverend, as a preacher, and you bring all of that into this lifetime through with your skills, your communication skills, and it's good too. You know?
I appreciate it. You know, it's something that's, you know, you hear the song and you sing the song God put in your heart, and you don't let
right.
life shut you up. And I find that in this. I found it with my mom, who was nothing like that, James. She was strict, you know, New York, Long Island Catholic. She
right.
was strict. And the things she was saying and how she was open to it and not afraid, you know, not a woman who was afraid of everything, turned into someone who, I don't know what she saw, and we were in North Shore Hospital in Manhasset,
mm-hmm.
and she was looking at the wall behind me, but James, she didn't see a wall. She was like a little kid looking at Disney for the first time, and it was just, it was an incredible feeling to recognize that she had seen this and to know that she basically said, love you all, and I'll see you on the flip side.
Exactly. Hey, I was with my father there in North Shore Hospital, and he passed away. And he was the same thing. He was looking at the wall, and I could see spirits coming in, my mother and these different people. And he looked over, and he was in a coma, and we all said, it's okay to go. And he said to me in my head, he said, as long as you kids don't fight. And I said, we won't fight. And he died 5 minutes later. And it was as if that, like people often describe it, as a mist that leaves the body. And there's a freedom. There's that freedom. There's that natural freedom. And then he came back to me within, oh, I would say 2 hours. And there I was driving the Long Island Expressway, and he's coming into my head so quickly, saying, you got it right, you got it right. He goes, this is real stuff. He goes, this is really so funny. This is real stuff. And he said, you know, Mother bought me a brand-new suit and some nice shoes, and I found out I have a brother I never knew I had. And then we found out years later that, sure enough, his mother had a miscarriage. So it's just amazing. It's amazing work and freedom. You know, I want to go back to something you talked about. Life to me is a series of choices, and all choices are based on two things, either love or fear. And that's all choices derive from. How are you going to decide your life on this choice? Is it going to come from what other people think of you, what you're afraid of people thinking of you, not doing the right thing, or is it coming from a place of love, that you love what you're doing, this is the right thing, it feels right to your heart? And that's really what life is about. It's that simple. Those choices are either love or fear in every single part of your life.
And that's what you leave. I mean, you really leave at the end, whether it's the end of your day or the end of your life, you really leave either evidence that you seized the day or evidence that you were scared of tomorrow. And that's really what you leave. And I want to get to some more of the feedback. And folks, you can know that you can click on James' name. It'll take you right to vanprog.com. You can also click on the picture of the book, and it'll take you right to Amazon so you can order yourself a copy of his new book. The book we're speaking about is Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. Either way, it opens a new window, so you could pick up a copy of the book or browse vanprog.com while you listen to this brilliant man speak. You know, going to the feedback, here's Marley. Marley's in Sacramento, and she wants to know about past lives and if that's something what she actually wants to know is if you've learned anything about past lives or reincarnation through your experience, and if it's changed your mind about it or sculpted the way you think about past lives and reincarnation.
Totally. I worked with Dr. Brian Wise for many, many years, about 20 years, and we have done stuff together. And it's funny you said, because I was going to mention it. I'm doing a spiritual cruise in September. Because all the celebrity ship that I'm doing, they've knocked down the price of $2,000. So it's a really cheap way for 10 days, and I'm going to do 10 days of workshops. and teaching people about meditation, teaching people about spirit communication. I'm doing a lot of readings. I'm doing, you know, free readings. I'm doing all these things. So that's on my website, too. And one of the workshops during that cruise is past life regression, where I will actually regress people back to past lives. And it's an amazing experience in that you see certain conditions in this present lifetime, what you're going through and why you're going through them, and you see the connection to the past life of why you have to go through it, who's in that past life with you, who's in the current life, causing certain lessons. You see the lessons you're learning from that person, the karma, you know, the karma, the law of cause and effect. So that is definitely something on the cruise that I'm doing, and if anyone's ever wanted to do something like that, it's a very safe environment, and it's going to be with me the whole time. I'll hold your hand. And also the prices are really low right now. So it's a good opportunity. That'll be in September, and that's on my website. So that's, we're going to do a whole bunch of stuff on reincarnation and healing, too, a lot of stuff on healing.
And the website's vanprog.com. We're going to go with Jillian. Jillian's in Chicago, Illinois, and she writes, Steve, love you, love this show. Thank you for having James on. Can you please ask him about children? My daughter swears that she has these conversations with someone who had passed. My daughter is 5 at the time. What do I do to not get in her way? Do I cultivate her imagination? Do I tell her that's silly? I'm not sure what to do. Please ask James to help me be the best mom so I could help her.
Well, that's a very good question. And never negate the child's experience, because it's a true experience, that child. And children, as I said earlier, are very close to the veil. So they're very, very open to receiving spirit impressions, to seeing spirit. Sometimes they talk about playmates. I would say 90% of the time they're actually seeing spirit. 10% of the time they probably are imagination. But I would definitely encourage the child and just say to the child, so who do you see? And then start writing things down with that child. Have them write a story about the person they see. What's their name? What are they telling you? Where do they come from? How do they know you? You know, just encourage them to ask questions. And how does that person make you feel? You know, just encourage them. Mm-hmm. Never negate them, because that'll limit them. And it'll limit them to believe in themselves. And one thing I'm going to say, children know the truth. Children recognize truth. They see truth. And what happens is, as young children, they will they see truth, and they know truth. And when they speak to a parent, and many times adults don't tell the truth, the children will know that. The children know that the words that are coming out of that parent's mouth are not truthful, are not honest, and they'll immediately begin to mistrust the adults.
They have great detectors, and they haven't been quite put into the socially conditioned prison that we tend to put ourselves in as adults, and they are filled with knowledge, and you're right, they're closer to the veil. Is this what, you know, the ancients and even Jesus talked about, of having the mind of a child, is really
to get
just,
to the gates of heaven.
it's unlearning. I think that I've learned, James, in my own experience, is that we say grow spiritual, but in my own experience, it's, you actually shrink spiritual. It's a process of refining and letting go. It's not really a process of adding anything. It's shrinking spiritual.
It's true. It's very, very true. I mean, it's so true. You have to be like a childlike to get to the gates of heaven. It's you have to be open and innocent and free from those limitations, from judgment. You know, judgment equals fear. I'm such a fool. When people see me in my shows, I open up the show with dancing. I come out on the stage, start dancing, and everyone on the stage, in the audience, is like up on their feet dancing. And there's a lot of people. I'm doing a tour in England in a couple of weeks, and I'll tell you, I did it last year, and people look at me like I'm completely insane. And I'm very happy, because what people think of me is none of my business, first of all, and everyone should know that. What anybody thinks of you is none of your business.
Right.
And it's just, you have to be. I've always had that little boy, little kid sense of humor, and that playfulness, that little imp. And I find it fun. I find it joyful. I love living in joy. And I find doing this work, it's amazing, incredible work. And there's no such thing as death. And once you realize there's no death, it is joyful. It is joyful, and life is joyful. And you can make it that way. There's going to be some hard situations in this world, because there are lessons we have to learn, and lessons aren't always easy ones. But if you just, again, take it from a different perspective and be joyful, realizing that, you know, we're all going to get through it. We're all going to get through it. It might be difficult at times, but you will get through it. There will be an end to this condition, and just make the best of a bad situation. Love or
when
fear.
When you talk about soulmates and soul families, Lillian, it's just heartbreaking to read your feedback and sending you love and hugs from New York. But Lillian from North Platte, Nebraska, wants to talk a little bit more about soul groups and soul connections. She lost her daughter at a young age, and she just wants to know if she'll be connected with her in any capacity in the afterlife.
Yes, and in the book I do mention a lot about soul groups, for sure, because that's really what it's all about. We are connected on a soul level, if you will, through various lifetimes, past lives, on this planet and other places. And there is an affinity, if you will. There's a connection with other souls. It's like there are other parts of ingredients of our being are part of them. It's the left hand, the right hand. There's a left hand with a right hand. They're definitely, we're definitely connected with them. We choose to come back in different lifetimes to learn lessons with them. Sometimes they come back at a physical level, and we're on a spiritual level guiding them, and sometimes it's vice versa. It's very much like Shakespeare said that life is a stage, is a play, and we're just, you know, actors on that stage. Very, very much so. So the soul is so intricate, and there's so many. I say it's like a diamond, and that each experience is really a facet to that diamond, and it shines it up. And the scope of it is, and the essence of our being is just so vast that we have to realize we're much, much more than just this physical, limited body, you know?
Well, that's the thing. It's and what science is finding, and while they're finding so much, James, and they are connecting, and they are really bridging much of a gap between the spiritual and the scientific, even our science can't really grasp it. That's how vast, that's how much potential we have, how incredible we are, that with all the science in the world, they're now taking pictures of the Big Bang, but they still can't measure how much potential we have as humans. That's incredible to me, and for me, that's a wonderful feeling, because then we know that at any given point, James, we can change anything we want. We
exactly.
Just have to do so.
Exactly. And science, unfortunately, they're limited in their methodology and in the ways they measure things. I mean, there are waves all around us of energy, but they can't measure them. They can't even measure cell phone waves. So, I mean, and those exist. We know they exist. Like, I'm talking to you on the phone right now, and yet I don't see your face in front of me. So these things do exist. I do believe that science is getting closer to the understanding that there are different levels of consciousness, and it really comes to those different levels of consciousness, and each one has very different characteristics. Each level of consciousness, very different characteristics. And we have to realize that time is so much a part of this dimension, that this world is run by time. But in truth, in reality, there is no time. So when we talk about that, then we say, well, if there is no time, then everything is different. Every hypothesis is very different in another dimension. The laws that we have science that apply to science in this dimension certainly do not apply to those other dimensions. The one constant, though, that we do have is energy. The one constant we have is the energy of love, which travels throughout all the dimensions. So that's very, very true.
And you know, that's a great point that you make, because our world, our reality here, our life is a printout of our agreement with reality. But on the other side, I mean, they're not bound by that same agreement.
That's right. Exactly right. Exactly right.
Oh,
I think that science is getting closer now to the real. And that's why I said to everybody, please buy a book now and put me on the bestseller list. Because, again, once you start, people start questioning consciousness, questioning spirituality, it really starts everybody to start questioning it. And what's real and what's not real, and what the laws the quantum physics, laws of physics, do they apply in this way or not? And it really begins people to start thinking and understanding. And so that's what our mission is on this earth, is to help others understand.
And we recognize that at every given moment, we have the tools we need to fulfill our purpose, and that our loved ones, as much as you love them when they were here, you can still love them because they are here. They haven't left. It's just that they're on the other side of the veil helping and participating and sharing love like they always were.
You're right, Steve. I just want to say something from just open the page of my book, which I want to read really quickly, if that's okay, because it says everything we're talking about, that spiritual power emanates from the soul. Where we are in soul consciousness and live with soul awareness, we break through the illusions of the five senses and know true self-worth. As a result, we discover our soul power. This power gives inspiration, beauty, peace, joy, and harmony to each and every moment of our life. And that's very, very true.
It really is true. And to recognize, science helps us in a way of recognizing there are certain truths. I always stuck by this truth where I said, you know, well, we're energy. Fundamentally, we're energy, and we know that energy can't be destroyed, it can only transform. And if you had a tea kettle filled with water and you let it boil for a while, after a while it would be half full. The other half didn't die. It can't. It just transformed into steam. And we're that same way. Science backs the – for me, that tells you that science backs an afterlife. What I'm empowered by, James, is that it's very it's a continuation of life. For me, it's, over the years, it's become a lot less mystical and a lot more empowering. You know, I'll never forget when my mom, my first visitation from my mom after she passed, it was a few weeks later, and the first thing I said was, of course, what took you so long? It took you forever. And she said, well, that's your opinion. And then I thought it was going to be this, you know, this whole moment like you see on TV where it was all this beautiful light, and it wasn't. It was just like looking at my mom at any other time, and I gave her a big hug, and she looked at me, and I was expecting some sort of wise advice, and she said, what's on TV? And that was just it. We just sat on the couch.
You know, because we've done, you know what, you and your mom have been through it many, many lifetimes.
You've
transitioned before she has. She's transitioned before you have. We've been through that experience. Kind of, we recognize that experience all the time. That does happen all the time. I did a reading for a lady years and years and years ago, and her daughter was, she called me in, and this lady was very, very ill. She was dying of cancer, and she was in her bed, and I brought through her five husbands that died. And it was a hysterical reading. Lady's from New York. She had a great sense of humor. She's a Brooklynite, so she had this great New York accent and this personality, if you know what I mean. And she came, well, she passed, I guess, months later. And about a year later, the girl came back to me, the daughter, and the mother came through for spirit. And she was very angry with me, as only a Brooklyn, New York woman could. And she was like, I'm really mad at you, James Amprog. And I'm like, your mother said she's really mad at me. I don't understand. Why are you mad at me? And she said, you didn't even tell me half of how good it really is. That was really funny. And it's true. I mean, just little parts come through in the messages. It's just a small, it's 10% of what's really out there and what you experience when you pass over to the side. It's so natural, so real. I had a near-death experience years back now, and it was such a sense of peace and wholeness and oneness, all in one. And there was no time. It was just a sense of being, a fullness of your being. And when spirits come through with communication, they try to describe that. But again, I think they can only get through a certain percentage of what it's really like. And of course, they have to deliver evidential stuff so the person knows that they're really there. Unfortunately, they would like to say other things about what a great place they're living in and what level of soul they're on and so forth, but the person on the earth would not understand that necessarily.
It's like, what good is music if the audience is deaf? So they
exactly.
Yeah,
great analogy. That's a great analogy, Steve, yes.
Thanks, folks. Humanity, spirituality, and all kinds of love found in this new book, Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. We just had a great conversation with New York Times bestselling author James Van Praagh. Take action, folks. Get yourself a copy. Share. If you know somebody who can be touched by this book, make sure you share it as well. Pick it up. It's James Van Praagh's new book, Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. You can click on any link on our site, and it'll take you to a place where you could find out more about James Van Praagh on vanpraagh.com or pick up a book right away at Amazon. James Van Praagh, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it, and I hope everybody comes to Westbury, New York, and any place else I'll be appearing. Love to meet you.
I love you. You're doing that music fair?
Yes.
August. It's a great
first
new theater.
Time.
Yeah, I'll try and make it. Thank you so much.
Love, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, make sure you check out James Van Praagh's new book, Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. Make sure you check out vanpraagh.com. That's vanpraagh.com. And, of course, you can pick up a copy of this book at Amazon. Pick up a copy for somebody you may feel needs this book, Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. This is I know your clock is saying that there's another hour left of this show. Actually, it's going to be a shorter show. I've got synchronistically. You want to talk about the synchronicity? We're talking about this and those who have passed. And I brought up my mom, and my mom had passed for about just a little over 3 months now. And synchronistically, we had booked James Van Praagh a long while ago, and just yesterday, we got a call from the cemetery that her headstone will be being placed today. So I'm actually cutting the show short a little bit today to head over and have a little ceremony with family at my mom's grave. Again, synchronistically happening today. I want to thank all of you who shared your stories with me. It touches me so much that you share them with me. You know, I always talk about how this show is a family, and that this isn't really interviews. I don't conduct the show as if it's an interview. I conduct it like we're a family sitting at the dinner table, and we have a guest, and we're kind of all just shooting some questions at them, and it just never makes me feel more like family and more honored and respected than when you send your personal stories. So I want to send out love and hugs to all of you. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Make sure we support fantastic authors like James Van Praagh, who are really helping spread consciousness and understanding out there. His newest book is Growing Up in Heaven, The Eternal Connection Between Parent and Child. Don't forget that James has been on our show a couple times before. Every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. The only thing I ask is that you share this information. Share books, share email links, share whatever I'm sure James has got tons of YouTube videos. Share all of that stuff. You know, we're all on the same team and in this together. You know, Dr. King said, we may have come on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now. And it's the truth. We're all on the same team and in this together. And let's get out there and participate in our own lives and other people's lives. Let's cause smiles. Let's never forget that power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. And when you're out there, listen to me now. When you're out there and you're feeling the resistance of life and you're feeling life has got you down and you can't really see or feel that there's a message in the mess, for what it's worth, know that I'm out here battling too. The neighbors are out there battling too. People who love you are battling too. We're all going through life. We're connected. We're sweating right next to each other. We're learning from each other. We're laughing. Some of us are crying. But we're going through this together. We're going to the same destination. Let's help each other. Let's hold each other. Let's love each other. Let's respect each other. Let's build a bridge of authenticity, love, hope, respect, and compassion. And let's never forget that this New Yorker loves you all. You're listening to Empowered Living. Check out our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.